since it was in there.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda. Sustained propaganda.
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at 5.
Ah, a very good morning to you. Well, why can't you hear me? Oh, there we are. You can hear me now.
Hey, we just had a bit of a problem with the technical side, didn't we? You had your microphone switched off.
I know, Digger. We're hopeless this morning, but we'll get there. It's 5 o'clock. Very good morning to you, and welcome to the program. Let's have a look at weather right now.
88.1 FM, The Wireless Weather.
Right, we'll look at the short forecast first of all for all New Zealand, valid until midnight tonight. But before we do, let's have a look at the extremes. And first of all, we've got Banks Peninsula, 22 degrees right now. How about that? Hastings is on 8.9, that's the lowest temperature. Wellington, Lyell Bay, 39 kilometres of wind. And Mount Cook has 6.8 millimetres of rain. It's all going to be happening with the weather in the South Island. Temperatures across the country: Invercargill 13 degrees, Dunedin 15 along with the Chatham Islands, Queenstown's on 14, Timaru 12, Christchurch 21 degrees this morning, Franz Josef 16 along with a bit further north, Westport, Nelson's on 17, Blenheim 16, Christchurch, unbelievable, 21 degrees, and Banks Peninsula 22. In the North Island, Wellington 17 degrees, Masterton 18, Napier 17. We've got Palmerston North at 12 degrees, New Plymouth 18 degrees this morning. Taupo and Rotorua both on 15 and 16 degrees respectively. Gisborne 11 degrees, Hamilton 14 degrees, Tauranga 18, Auckland 19. Along with Whangarei and also Kaitaia. Oh no, Kaitaia's just edged up to 20 degrees. The short forecast for all New Zealand: significant heavy rain for southern Westland over the next few days, northern to Taranaki, including Tongarenui. Fine spells with isolated showers, Coromandel, Bay of Plenty and Taupo, mostly cloudy with a few showers. Whangarui to Taihape to, and also Wellington, Gisborne and Wairarapa, generally fine, but cloudy periods about Kapiti and Wellington and a chance of a shower about the northern Gisborne area. For Marlborough, Nelson and Bulla, mostly cloudy with scattered showers, but fine with high cloud about Kaikoura Coast, Westland and Fiordland. Whoop, periods of rain with heavy falls, especially about the ranges. For Canterbury, Otago and Southland, often cloudy, rain with heavy falls about Canterbury and Otago headwaters, and also scattered rain elsewhere at times. And for the Chathams, fine weather today with just a few cloudy periods. How about that? Yeah, make sure you get your third booster.
Another discovery a few months ago, there was a discovery that if you've had 2 COVID vaccines, you start to produce a little bit of this new antibody, this IgG4. But if you've had 3 vaccines, if you had the booster shot, your IgG4 levels go up 500-fold.
Wow.
And then suddenly it goes from 0.04% to 20% of the antibodies you're producing. And that shifts your immune system completely. You're not producing IgG1 and 3 anymore, and these are the antibodies that actually handle the viral infections, but they also handle cancer surveillance.
Wow.
So you're more likely now to get infected, not just with COVID-19. So you see people who've had their booster shot, 3 vaccines, 4 vaccines, 5 vaccines, they keep getting reinfected with COVID-19 over and over, or they get sick very often with influenza. But you're also reducing cancer surveillance as well. That could be another mechanism by which all these terminal cancers are arising in people who've had 3 or more shots.
4 minutes past 5. Good grief. That's unbelievable, isn't it? And we'll also hear from Guy Hatchard as well. Apparently over 11,000. And they say that it could be well above 11,000 people in high positions during the COVID pandemic. And they were also sworn to secrecy. They had to sign a document. They got an exemption from being jabbed, but they also had to sign a document to say that they wouldn't speak about it. And doctors had to continue, even though they weren't jabbed, and all of their people and all their high level people, they weren't jabbed, but doctors had to continue to continue to coerce their patients to being vaccinated. Unbelievable. Absolutely out of this world. 5 past 5.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, New Zealand News.
Right, we'll get over to One News and check out what's happening at One News first of all. Digger, you've got to keep reminding me.
Yes.
You have to keep reminding me about doing the, what do you call it, the On This Day in History, because we've missed it out every day this week, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. We've got no idea, so we'll have to do what happened this week. Of course, the Waheny disaster, that happened on this day in history, 1968. You were just a little nipper then, weren't you?
Yes, just a little nipper.
All right, well, let's look at the news, and we'll go straight to the latest news from One News, and the latest is Fair Go. A Murawai renter shocked at seven-day notice to leave her home. Sam Armstrong was given an urgent notice to leave after the Auckland Council assessed the land at risk. It was Category 3, but she lived there for 3 years since Cyclone Gabrielle. I didn't think it was 3 years ago. Oh, sorry, she lived there for a year. I added a 3 in there. Don't know why.
You do that.
I know. Anyway, she's a bit upset about that. Now, how can parents safely introduce kids to bad news? There's a story over there. You can have a look at that. And severely threatened bird spotted in Kapiti on the coast in the estuary there. It's a white heron, and it's native to, with the doc saying that there were between 100 and 120 of the birds around the country. We've got intense rain weather system. It sweeps across the west coast. State Highway 6 is closed. That's the highway between Haast and Fox Glacier. It's closed due to a slip last evening. Uber rideshare Ola hits the brakes in New Zealand and Australia. One of the three ride-sharing companies will close its app on Friday, according to an email, after more than 6 years of operating here in New Zealand. Warriors coach Andrew Webster, he reveals his wish for Wade Egan. The hooker was among the November. The NRL's most improved players in Webster's first season at the helm last year and returning stronger than ever. Black mould and septic tank overflow. What tenants are living with? Private rentals have until July next year to meet minimum criteria for heating, insulation, ventilation and draft stopping, according to this report. Two killed in an off-road accident crash in the Nelson Forest. Police were notified of the single crash accident around 11 p.m. yesterday evening. Invercargill resident frustrated by a car that's been abandoned for 3 weeks. From March the 20th, a vehicle was parked facing the wrong way on Yethin Street following a crash at a nearby intersection. Public servants question why management seems immune to cuts. Very senior people on much higher salaries than mine are all unaffected by the proposed changes. Hamilton petrol station robber took a few wrong turns. A crucial mistake. A few crucial mistakes were made while attempting to make good their escape, resulting in several helpful calls to police. One dead and another injured in a crash near Tekapo. Police were called to the scene of a single vehicle crash at about 17 minutes past 3 yesterday afternoon. Stepdad accused over a Queensland toddler's death, he walks free. Evidence suggests the death of a 16-month-old, Yalen, in 2021 was an awful tragedy, according to the judge. I know how that feels. The minister tears up during a campaign launch. The new campaign seeks to break the culture of silence that has surrounded abuse here in New Zealand. Helen Clark wades in with a warning. She's warning New Zealand is returning to the ANZUS, the former New Zealand Prime Minister, Helen Clark, and KGB agent too, according to Greg Hallett and prostitute. Okay. The former New Zealand Prime Minister, she says it's profoundly undemocratic shift in foreign policy that's taking place. Over 200 women accuse a US doctor in sexual abuse lawsuit. More than 200 women and some men have accused a Boston-based doctor, singular, of sexual abuse.
Gosh, he's been busy.
He has, Digger, hasn't he? Gosh, but in a very bad way. A person dies after a fall on Lake Tongariro Crossing. A rahui,
that's a pagan Maori spell.
Yes, that's right. It's been declared on the most popular track for 3 days following that. And what else have we got here? Chechnya announces a ban on music deemed too fast or too slow.
Yes, well, you're only allowed to have a tempo of 80 and no faster than 116 beats per minute.
Oh, that's a good idea, I think. Yep, make sure you control them through the music. Tensions high outside the Australian court at landmark trans rights trail.
Is that Roxanne Tickle?
Yes, Roxanne is suing Giggle for Girls.
Giggle for Girls.
That's right. And after her access to the women-only app was revoked back in September 2021.
I remember that.
Corned beef targeted in the alleged month-long shoplifting spree.
Oh, that's right. That fellow sold $2,000 worth of corned beef.
Yes, he did. Bluey, over in Australia now, the Bluey House, that's a children's TV thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
Listed for sale in Brisbane, the Heeler family. Oh, that must be where they film it. The Heeler family's house is described as a quintessential Queenslander with mid-century design aesthetics offset by something. A man is wanted by police after a fraud incident across Auckland. Police are seeking information on the whereabouts of Tajinder Singh, who is... He's got a number of outstanding warrants for his arrest.
He's an ugly-looking bugger. He's got a turned-down lip. He's got a moustache that's turned down with a little bushy thing under his bottom lip there. And he's got a nasty scar under his right eye. And his eyebrows look like the Muslim moon thing, you know, the moon god.
Yeah, indigenous pair feel ripped off by the travel firms using Maori. First Nation, that's from Canada. They spent thousands of dollars. Oh, they spent $4,000 each to come over here and meet with all these indigenous people over here, apparently, so-called indigenous. I'm indigenous.
Yeah, I'm indigenous.
But they failed to deliver, apparently, and now they're just making their own way around the country. I think they're in Coromandel at the moment. We might talk about that a bit later on. The solar eclipse, we've got Winston Peters. He's there. Oh, there's a photograph there, but I couldn't get it up. A photograph of him with his protective eyewear on. He's overseas at the moment, looking at the solar eclipse. There will be a wait to catch a total solar eclipse here in New Zealand, and it's limited to just four regions. Now, why would that be?
That's because you think the Earth is flat and that we have to follow the Gleason's map and not the globe map.
That's right. That's why the sun sets in the summertime. The sun sets, say, down in Bluff in Southland there. It sets about half an hour later. That's because the Earth is, the New Zealand actually isn't sitting the way we think it's sitting when we look at a globe. If you look at Gleason's map, which is a very accurate map, which a lot of nautical sailors use for decades, very accurate map, you can see that New Zealand is actually, the bottom of it is poking way west. And that's why we've still got sunlight when the north is in the darkness, because they're facing more east.
Is that right? Right. You're a funny thing, aren't you, believing in the flat earth?
Well, I believe it is, and we're all allowed to believe what we want, aren't we?
Yeah, go for your life, mate. Whatever floats your boat.
Okay. Now, a big five things that happened yesterday. New Zealand's Fair Go gets a partial reprieve. Newsroom cuts are confirmed. West Coast authorities brace for bad weather today. Other things are Pokies in Christchurch, the manager there, he pleads guilty to taking $182,000. His name is Mark Cheney. He was the manager of gambling venues, Robbie's Riccarton. That's in Christchurch, I think, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Riccarton, actually. They have to horse racing. Is it Riccarton? Yeah.
I thought Riccarton was in Wellington. No, Christchurch. Yeah, Riccarton. When he received $182,761.64. Pacific pesos, that's New Zealand dollars worth of grants over a period of 2 years. Webster hails Nicole Klokstad as his energy as fullback stock boosts. And so he's really, he'd had a hamstring injury, but now he's on the go. A very rare bird, we heard about that, didn't he? Flew in from Australia. From a sewage plant there. No kidding. A bird usually seen singly on two groups. Oh, who cares? It's been a bird. That's under crime and justice. We've got a bird there. A jailbird. Targeted rates for Westport set to increase by a whopping, we'll have to click on it. They've got clickbait here this morning, 539%. No kidding. West Coast ratepayers face targeted rates well above the 27 and 44% general rate increases proposed by regional council, particularly in Westport. Targeted rates include the special rating district levy for ratepayers within 23 special rating districts on the West Coast. The levy, I think they want them off the West Coast. They want to get rid of the farmers all over the country. That's all what it's all about. But, I've got a tickly throat this morning.
Have a drink of coffee then.
All right, I just wish you wouldn't smoke. You got up this morning about 3 o'clock, didn't you? And you were smoking in the house, weren't you?
Yeah, I had a little puff.
Well, I don't want you doing that. You go outside if you're going to do that. It's in the wintertime, it's going to be nice and cold. That'll wake you up ready for the program.
You need waking up because you're a bit off the You're a bit off colour today. Oh, okay. I haven't got my hoodie on today, so I'm not going to get overheated. The levy administered by the council helped to cover the cost and maintain river coastal erosion protection assets in the local neighbourhoods. These include the entire Greymouth area under the Greymouth flood wall and Hokitika sea wall, the Franz Josef area protection banks, and the Westport. They've got where the foundation work of an intergenerational resilience scheme has started. The town was badly affected by record floods in July 2021, and the following February it remained very vulnerable until substantial work could be completed. So what they're going to do now is they're going to make you pay. West Coasters are going to have to pay to fix all that, I suppose. I think the whole country should be, we should all be pitching in for areas that are badly affected. I don't think, they said that Northam was really badly affected, but did you think it was that bad, Cyclone Gabrielle, Digger?
No, not really. Just a few trees blown around, but nothing out of the ordinary. A few extra gouges in the gullies, but no, otherwise it was pretty normal.
Yeah. Auckland Pack and Save worker struck in the face and shoves an attacker. Three women hit an employee in the face three times before she was pushed yesterday afternoon. And a shortage, Australian tradie shortage, looks bad for a bid to build 1.2 million homes over there in Oz. A building and construction industry forecast released on Tuesday estimates so 1.09 million new homes would need to be built. And Dark Skies advocate helps Runanga reconnect with the night. Māori never forgot the importance of the celestial sky, but like so many living in an urban environment, their view of the night sky has been obstructed. TVNZ cuts, Fair Go gets a partial reprieve. We talked about that. Minister questioned mining companies' fast-track invite claim. Chris Bishop accuses Australian web seabed mining company Trans-Tasman Resources of being misleading by calling something. I have to click on it. Chris Bishop. I quite like Chris Bishop. Do you?
He's all right.
Yeah. Australian mining company Trans-Tasman, TTR, they released a statement on April the 8th, a couple of days ago, saying it'd been invited to apply for the fast-track consenting process under the government's fast-track approvals bill, which was currently before the select committee. As well as providing an avenue for projects to be considered and approved, the legislation would also contain a list of projects to be included in the bill itself. The TTR recently pulled out the consent hearings, tipping off opponents of the project that the company was likely to be eyeing the fast-track process as an alternative. Yesterday, the mining company released a statement confirming it was preparing an application. On April the 5th, 2024, the New Zealand government formally invited Manuka wholly-owned subsidiary Trans-Tasman Resources Limited to prepare an application for the Taranaki VTM project to be included as a listed project in New Zealand's fast-track approvals bill. There we are. That's that news. So we went over and managed to finish it. Geopolitics not sexy enough to lure young Australian spies. Government defence and security agencies struggling to recruit as Australia makes deeper commitments to the AUKUS agreement. Auckland Pack and Save, we had that one. Australian tradie shortage, we got that. We've also got policemen running out as well. Dark skies, what have we got? Oh, hang on, we've gone down a bit. Here, youth. One aged 11 arrested after a hammer attack on a vape shop. One male armed with a hammer smashed a young fella. Young Maori, guarantee it, will be.
You're right, it will be a young Maori. They all are. Maoris commit all the crime. And Chinese commit all, they cause all the accidents. Old Chinese women, that covers everyone, doesn't it?
Does. Old Chinese and women. Yeah. Very good. We've got a few analysis here. Hong Kong officials make massive gold smuggled bust. Ooh, the haul was discovered last month en route to Japan and is believed to be worth more than 16 million New Zealand Pacific pesos. A Rugby Global Club Championship on course for the 2028 launch. The format is taking shape that eight European sides, six former Super Rugby and two teams from Japan will be involved with it. Tamatea rugby matches relocated after shooting of players in a van. The rugby match between Tamatea and Young Maori Party at Bill Matheson Park in Hastings has been called off due to safety concerns. Emergency centres are preparing for days of rain as they loom for the West Coast. Met Service meteorologist John Law said that the heaviest rainfall is expected in the West Coast district south of Hokitika. 110 kilometres per hour speed limit proposed for Major Wellington Motorway.
The Wellington Motorway.
That's right. New Zealand Transport Association
There we are.
You mean Waka Kaikatari?
Yes, that's the one. First announced that they were considering raising speed limit on the road last, but they're gonna do all these other things, the Kapiti one and all that. Footage captures armed escape of Idaho white supremacist. So they say he's a white supremacist, but how would you know? You know, they've got it in for the whiteies at the moment. And Kiwi Paralympic gold medalist Lisa Adams, she retires. World and Paralympic shot put F37 champion Lisa Adams has called time on her career in the sport. And a tribunal suggests Pakistani man could bribe way out of torture. 49-year-old had claimed, is this in international news? He claimed that he had been detained in Pakistan and faced persecution if he returned. And Djokovic, he eclipses Federer's record for the oldest man ranking number one. Novak Djokovic has become the oldest man to be ranked number one in the ATP Tour's World Tennis Ratings. Police released the name of a person who died in State Highway 16 crash in Auckland. He was Connor James Lamb, 27, from Auckland. And Mitchell to serve three-match ban. Oh, we're getting down to the old news. Oh, Kate Hawksby, she's in the news. Kate Hawksby's wait list comments on Māori Pacifica is misleading, according to a... there was a sort of a final ruling on that. The former News Talk, I wonder why she's former. Former News Talk ZB host on-air commentary came amid controversy about June over news. That was last June, rather. That was back about the Health New Zealand's development of... make me click on it, because we've got the dot, 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 haven't we? She's very pretty, isn't she, Kate?
Yeah, she's quite lovely. She's married to Hawksby, isn't she?
She is. Of course she is. No, she's not married to Hawksby. She's married to the on-air guy. What's his name? The Mike Hosking. Yeah, but she's kept her name. She doesn't want to have his name. Hawksby's a good name. Remember John Hawksby?
Yeah, we didn't work with him, did we?
No, we didn't work with him. Hawksby's on-air commentary came amid controversy last June over Health New Zealand development of surgery waitlist prioritisation tool that included ethnicity as a factor. The Broadcasting Standards Authority, that's the BSA.
That's your motorbike, isn't it?
No, well, not in this instance. Has yesterday ordered the broadcaster NZME to air a statement summarising the decision and to pay the Crown costs of $1,500. The regulator upheld a complaint that remarks the broadcast on the early edition of with Kate Hawksby breached accuracy, discrimination and denigration standards. Gosh, they wouldn't listen to us.
I know, we're shockers, aren't we?
We are. The decision related to a June 19th broadcast in which Hawksby discussed the new equity adjuster score waitlist system being trialled in the Auckland region. The system uses five categories to place patients on the non-urgent surgical waitlist, including clinical priority time, spent waiting, location, deprivation level and ethnicity. That's all racist, isn't it?
Yeah, it's racist. Flipping racist.
The broadcaster, in the broadcast, Hawksby made statements to the effect that the score meant that Pacific and Maori people were being moved to the top of the surgery waitlist. It's true. The BSA, that's not the motorbike, the BSA found this gave the misleading impression ethnicity was the only or key factor involved in the assessment. It is. That meant that Maori and Pacifica patients would be given immediate precedence on the surgical waitlist, according to the BSA. That's the Bullshit Association spokesperson. And it's ruling the regulator, oh, who cares? She's out anyway. She's not doing anything. I wonder if she's going to get back. Maybe she's up the duff again. MBIE, that's Ministry of Bribery and other things, they fined a boarding house landlord $37,000 after breaches. An investigation into the Tauranga boarding house was opened after a complaint by a third party. Central Otago Distillery advertises the best job in the world. The escape is called Escape Grace Distillery on the shores of Lake Dunstan is looking for an assistant distillery manager and master blender. Got a lot of blending to do. Trans woman, Pai Pier, oh, who cares? Up to 90 jobs would go at the leading climate researcher, NIWA. Ooh. Chief Executive John Morgan said that the reduction of 85 to 90 roles, well, they don't need that many, obviously they don't need that many, was required to meet the cost savings. Meanwhile, all the politicians and people in the senior management roles, tier, I think, two and three, tier one get the boot, and tier
two and three, they get they keep their job, and all the politicians are going for a wage rise. That's fair, isn't it? 25 minutes past five. Sorry, I've been amiss on that. Everton docked two more points by EPL for second financial rules. Everton previously had 6 points taken off them, with the latest punishment coming after the cut. The club was found to have spent more money than it should, I suppose. What, got a click on it. It's a clicker. 10 following season. Have spent too much in the three seasons. Spent too much money in the three seasons up to 2022-23. The league profit and financial sustainability rules allow the club to lose a maximum of $220 million, that's New Zealand Pacific pesos, over a three-year period, or face sanctions. Everton spent by close to 35 million New Zealand Pacific pesos, and that's what the league said. And there we are, that's sports. We haven't got a sports jingle, have we?
Well, we have, but I'm not playing it for one.
Okay. Geopolitics is not sexy enough to lure young Australians, apparently. The spies, younger Aussie spies. Government, defence and security agencies are struggling to recruit as Australia makes deeper commitments to the AUKUS agreement. And there we are. That's all the news from right across the whole page on One News. When we come back, we'll have a look at what's going on with the other newspapers around the country. This is just a little ad for WikiLeaks, and also coming up, the Mark of the Beast. We've got a small report here about the Mark of the Beast, and one fellow that we're going to be listening to, he actually worked on that digital chip. Oh yeah, all these years ago. 26 past five, good morning to you. And we'll also have On This Day in History as well when we come back after, say, 5:30.
For decades, news outlets have depended on the right to publish government secrets. But all that could change if President Biden's Justice Department finishes what Trump started, prosecuting WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange under the Espionage Act.
Everybody back there, the fake news media, look at all of them.
Donald Trump repeatedly calls journalists
enemy of the people.
And he's already promising a crackdown on the press.
Yeah, they say, it's okay, you're going to jail.
The only thing stopping him is the First Amendment.
The nation's Bill of Rights.
It protects the rights of journalists to publish the truth.
We're going to go with the story, because the terror is right here in this room.
Whether the government likes it or not.
Today, the Trump administration announced new criminal charges for Julian Assange under the 1917 Espionage Act, a terrible piece of legislation and rife for governmental abuse.
The government is now trying to criminally prosecute people for publishing secret stuff, and newspapers and magazines publish secret stuff all the time. That is the bread and butter of what we do.
The Espionage Act charges against Julian Assange have nothing to do with hacking, spying, or even espionage. They also have nothing to do with the DNC emails or Russia.
I know you. Given everything else that we know about the WikiLeaks guy, I can feel through the television right now your mixed feelings about what I am saying.
Everything that Assange is charged with under the Espionage Act happened in 2010. Assange is accused of speaking with a source, convincing her to give him documents, receiving those documents, and then publishing some of those documents.
Run that, baby.
In other words, acts that journalists engage in every day.
Much has been written about this in recent days as a result of a substantial leak.
The Obama administration didn't like Assange, but they chose not to prosecute him.
2004 to 2009.
They knew it would create a dangerous legal precedent. But when Trump got into office, he indicted Assange. Trump doesn't care about destroying press freedom.
Keep your voice down.
What a stupid question.
You are a rude, terrible person.
For him, that's a feature, not a bug.
But it should concern Biden, if he really thinks
journalism is not a crime.
And it should concern anyone who wants the press to freely report on Trump's abuses.
I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way.
By God, I have typed that son of a bitch's paper.
The Assange prosecution would hand Trump the perfect weapon to go after the New York Times and Washington Post.
Police in this small Kansas town raided.
Prosecutors would also be emboldened to crack down on local journalists across the country. You don't have to like Julian Assange. This is not about him. It's about the future of the Fourth Estate and American democracy.
Whether this case goes forward will be a part of Biden's legacy. The future of journalism is in his hands.
It's time for anybody who cares about press freedom to put their personal feelings about Julian Assange aside. Tell the Biden administration to drop this dangerous prosecution immediately.
Yeah, now you notice that they were blaming Trump there. Trump's not into that. He just doesn't want stupid people that give him misinformation, the disinformation. That's what he's against. He's not against banning press freedom. Biden is. They've been doing it all along. They all have, all the leftists that are in power at the moment. But they're slowly getting out of power, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Now, we've got our special guest artist this morning is Morgan Wade. And we've got some lovely songs coming up for her. This is the first one. And this is one for you, Grant.
Say I'm a psychopath, sitting at the bar drinking my coffee black. Look at me and you start to laugh. You say I am a psychopath. You were born a wild child, riding down the road, messing with my radio dial. You give me a sinister smile. You were born a wild child, and I love you just because. Saying I love you don't feel like enough. Drive somewhere where the view is clear. All your dreams are your parents' fears. But can I steal you away from here? And I love you just because. Saying I love you don't feel like enough. Out in the sea, you're drunk and give your eulogy. You might be the death of me, and I love you just because. Saying I love you don't feel like enough. One day I'll return to dust. Was there life before there was us?
That's a lovely song.
Yeah, I quite like that. What do you mean it's for me?
Yeah, well, you're a psychopath.
Am I?
You were yesterday, putting the window in with your son. It was terrible hearing you swearing and carrying on.
Oh, well, sometimes I get a bit frustrated. I thought I could get all the windows in this cabin, but then I realised I've actually got to put the cladding on first, don't we? Got to put the cladding on, eh, mate?
Yeah, second-hand iron with holes in it.
I know. Now, let's look and have a look and see what happened on this day in history. If you're having a birthday today, have a fabulous day. I'm actually going to go back a couple of days to April 8th, and because we haven't looked at that. Back in 1873, on April the 8th, Julius Vogel became the premier. Julius Vogel was the dominant political figure of the 1870s, serving as colonial treasurer and premier on several occasions, and launching a massive program, or lots of massive programs, on immigration and public works. Also on this day, in 1930, not on this day, but on the 8th, the smallpox epidemic kills 55 people, they say. By the end of the year, the epidemic was introduced by apparently a Mormon missionary, which is absolute BS. It killed 55 New Zealanders. All of them were Maori. On the 9th, in 1850, the Roman Catholic Sisters of Mercy arrived in New Zealand. Nine Sisters of Mercy arrived in Auckland on the Oceani with Bishop Pompilia and a number of Roman Catholic priests. On the 9th of April 1932, unemployment disturbances in Dunedin. During an angry autumn of the 1932 autumn, in the depths of the Great Depression, unemployed workers in Dunedin reacted angrily when the hospital board refused to assist them. And today, on the 10th of April in 1919, New Zealand votes for prohibition until the votes for prohibition until soldiers' votes are counted. What do you mean they vote? New Zealand votes for prohibition until soldiers' votes are counted, so they held it off. A special liquor referendum initially gave prohibition the majority of 13,000 over continuance, the status quo, raising the hopes of those who had decades campaigned against the manufacture of and sale of alcohol in New Zealand. And on this day in 1968, the Wahine wreckage in Wellington Harbour, the sinking of the Littleton, that's in Christchurch, Littleton to Wellington Ferry, Wahine, which is the Maori name for woman, was New Zealand's worst modern maritime disaster. 51 people lost their lives that day. Another died several weeks later, and the 53rd victim died in 1990 from injuries sustained in the attack. And I've got a little piece on that. We'll have a look at that in just a moment. In 1973, on this day, Labour government cancelled Springbok rugby tour. Following police warnings of civil strife, the Prime Minister Norman Kirk informed the New Zealand Rugby Football Union that the government saw no alternative to a postponement of the planned tour by the South African Springboks. In 1984, on this day, Susan Devoy wins the British Open squash tournament. In 1984, Susan Devoy became New Zealand's first to win the women's title at the prestigious British Open squash tournament, the Wimbledon Squash. Now, let's get over to have a look at this Cook Strait dangerous, the Wahine thing. Got a little story on that, so have a listen to that. It's 24 minutes away from 6. At 6 o'clock, we'll have the marine forecast for Bay of Islands, Hawke's Bay and Wellington.
A few hundred yards offshore, the inter-island ferry Wahine is drifting helplessly backwards up the harbour. Most of the time it is obscured by driving rain and sleet and spray whipped up off the sea. But a few moments ago it was visible, clearly visible from the shore, and it appeared to be moving slowly backwards towards the rocks a few hundred yards from the shore. The wind is reported to be blowing at nearly 100 miles an hour through the channel at the entrance to the harbour, whipping up a heavy spray and driving the sleet in towards the shore.
The turbulent waters of Cook Strait flow through the only significant gap in New Zealand's mountainous backbone. As the prevailing westerly winds reach New Zealand, they are funneled through the small gap between the North and South Islands, which increases their speed. And when strong winds come from the south, they often become gales as they blow through Cook Strait. The country's capital city, perched on the edge of the strait, is known as Windy Wellington. Cook Strait's rough seas are also the result of the meeting of two major currents, the warm Derwent Current, which flows southwards, and the cooler Canterbury Current, which travels northwards up the east coast of the South Island. The combination of conflicting currents, variable tides and strong winds can create extreme conditions in the strait. Maori greatly respected these waters. A canoe crossing of the strait was an occasion for ritual designed to ensure survival. All those who had never crossed the strait before were blindfolded. Only those who had previously crossed used their eyes. They acted as pilots. When the canoe had crossed the strait and was close to the beach, the new travellers would finally take off their blindfolds. They would be carried ashore because it was believed that if they waded in the water, a great storm would come up. The great English navigator, Captain James Cook, first explored the strait in 1770, thinking that it might be a large harbour in the great southern continent that he had been sent to find. But having sailed through the passage, he confirmed it separated the two large islands of New Zealand. His crew named the passage Cook Strait in his honour. As the European settlement of New Zealand increased, so did shipping between the islands, and shipwrecks inevitably occurred. In 1909, the Penguin ferry that travelled between Nelson and Wellington hit a large rock at night during a southerly storm. It sank with the loss of 75 lives. 23 passengers survived on two rafts, despite both being upturned, and the captain drifted ashore on Flotsam. On April the 10th, 1968, the passenger ferry Wahine, travelling between Christchurch and Wellington, foundered at the entrance to Wellington Harbour. A tropical cyclone sweeping south met a southerly front, producing freak winds of up to 230 kilometres per hour around Cook Strait. As the Wahine tried to enter Wellington Harbour through the narrow passage at the heads, it was blasted by hurricane-force winds. Massive waves over 10 metres high pushed the ferry onto the hidden rocks of Barrett's Reef. Taking in water, the vessel was then blown into the harbour. Eventually, the order was given to abandon ship. Although the Wahine was very close to the harbour's southern shore, the waves and wind pushed many of the lifeboats, as well as the passengers in the water, towards the rocky northern coastline. Here, giant waves smashed lifeboats and passengers onto the rocks. Of the 51 people who died that day, most were killed here. A number of swimmers have attempted to cross Cook Strait. The first is said to have been a Maori woman, Hine Popo, who crossed the strait around 1750, after being abandoned by her husband at Kapiti Island. The first person to swim the strait in recent times was New Zealander Barry Devonport. His 1962 crossing took just over 11 hours. Today, most people choose to cross Cook Strait on modern vehicle ferries, which provide a vital link between the islands. However, even today, sailings are sometimes cancelled during heavy storms.
That's it. That's it. Is that it?
That's it. Yes, that's it.
All right, we've got the Mark of the Beast coming up. We've also got Jeffrey Miller, a nice instrumental from Jeffrey Miller. He's a good musician, and a little bit of singing at the beginning as well. And Brazil is on the brink of dictatorship. That's a new story just come in. And we'll also hear about Brian Tamaki. Now, Brian Tamaki, good, bad and the ugly, the Christian voice, New Zealand. They have a thing or two to say about Brian Tamaki, so we'll be hearing from that. So, Brian, if you're listening, you'll be hearing some truths. Brian Tamaki from the Destiny Church. Is he good or is he bad? What do you think? We'll have a listen to that in just a moment. But first of all, let's go across the news hub. Plans to raise a major highway speed limit to 110 kilometres per hour. This is what they know. Let's have a quick look at that. That's the Kapiti Expressway. They want 110 kilometres per hour on that one. New Zealand Transport Agency, NZTA, will begin consultation this month on a proposal to raise the speed limit for the Kapiti Expressway to 110 kilometres per hour. Consultation on the change will increase from 100 kilometres to begin in April 2022. The last four weeks, they're going to have that consultation. And it's all part of the coalition government's agenda to build the infrastructure needed to grow the economy, reduce the travel times and increase the productivity of our transport network, according to Transport Minister Simeon Brown. He said that in a statement yesterday. He said it will boost the economy, growth and productivity. He said it's a key part of the government's plan to rebuild the economy, and this proposal supports that outcome by reducing travel times and increasing efficiency for travel in and out of Wellington. Brown also assured the change will be safe for commuters. The Mackays to Peka Peka and Peka Peka to Otaki roads of national significance, the RONs, that will make up the Kapiti Expressway, were started by previous national government and were designed and constructed to a high safety standard, he said. He said since these roads opened, there's no one has died in a crash. He said in addition to the proven safety benefits of removing heavy traffic out of the town centres like Paikokoriki, Paparumu, Waikanae and Otaki, these RONs have made regional freight trips more efficient. They've also enabled local road users to get where they need to go quickly and unlock new opportunities for housing and urban development. Brown says that he was pleased the NZTA was also making good progress on the next phase from Otaki to north of Levin. He said, I look forward to seeing similar speed limits set once construction is completed in the coming years. However, some nearby sections of State Highway 1 corridor north of Wellington are not being consulted on at this stage. While Transmission Gully has been operational since opening in March 2022, there's still some remaining work that needs to be completed before the speed review can begin. That's the news for Kapiti. And we drive on the left-hand side of the road over here in New Zealand. A video has emerged of a shocking near-miss on the same highway as a quadruple fatal crash on the same highway. It's nasty. You just remember that, tourists. We do drive on the left-hand side of the road over here. It was a tourist, apparently, in a red car. And you can see that over at, where are we today? We're at newshub.co.nz. Get in and have a look. Skitter around the news, give them some support before they shut the doors on the 30th of June. More in transport, the transport policy that has people fuming. It's being met with angry feedback. This report by Davina Simmer for The Detail. The Detail is a daily news podcast, by the way. It's put out by for RNZ by Newsroom and was published on News Hub with permission. You can click on the link if you want to hear that. You go over to newshub.co.nz. The government's policy statement will leave no doubt as to what direction it wants to head in. But when it comes to transport, not everyone is on the same motorway. The GPS, that's not to be confused with the global positioning systems. They're documents which outline the political aims of various sectors, including housing, transport, and the big one, health. Theoretically, if there's a 10-year plan, they should only come out every decade, but the Herald's deputy political editor, Thomas Coughlin, says in reality they're done much more frequently because governments change and aim to deliver their campaign promises. He said ministers can't keep their hands off the tools that they want to be consistently changing things, he says. Coughlin thinks it's important for Kiwis to be informed about the documents and what's in them. So in yesterday's Detail, they have a quick look at what's in them. There's the draft GPS. It's generally open for consultation, which gives the opportunity for feedback before things get finalised, and anyone can have their say. He said you should care about the government policy statement as much as you care about the budget, because this is how the things that you vote for and the things that you like or don't like about the government, this is how you get them, he says. The GPS, which has caused particular angst at the moment, is the one at hand, the one on hand transport, particularly for Auckland. The Transport Minister, Simeon Brown, says it will unlock infrastructure investments that will be needed to help Aucklanders get to where they want to go quickly and safely. But the Herald senior writer, Simon Wilson, he thinks that it will do the opposite, especially once the City Rail Link is finished. He said that we're going to have a double the capacity of our trains network, so many of those road crossings are going to become dangerous and will be stopping traffic a lot of the time. There's one in Auckland where it's going to be stopping the traffic for 3/4 of every hour, which clearly is going to infuriate drivers. Wilson said it will also be possibly encourage drivers to take risks. There we are. So that's Auckland Transport. Wellingtonians, they face more bus train disruptions on Monday. Hang on, is this old news?
It's old news.
Oh, what are you doing, News Hub? We better go to Radio New Zealand then, shall we?
Yes, let's go there.
Heavy rain is warning for Westland likely. It's to move from orange to red this morning. Met Service says the West Coast is likely to see immense rain overnight, which they had. I think it was 6.8 millimetres of rain down south there, wasn't it, Digger?
Yes, 6.8, nearly 7.
Uh-huh. And it's going to increase the likelihood of an orange heavy rain warning, and it will be escalated to a red later on this morning, if not already. We'll keep you up to date with that. West Coast emergency staff are preparing for this deluge. Heavy rain to pummel the country's south. Orange warnings are in place already and looks like it's going to be red. New Zealand cannot compete with Australian police pay offer, according to the Minister, Mark Mitchell. New Zealand police are being offered a fast track to Australian frontline as Queensland police ramp up efforts to poach New Zealand's thinning blue line. The full page ad in the New Zealand Herald, I think it was, it said New Zealand wide newspaper, that'll be the Herald, that's officers transferring to the Gold Coast will be able to compete with what they're going to have is an intense four-month course rather than the usual 8 months of training required. The campaign by Queensland Police launched last year to poach New Zealand, the way they say poach, encourage New Zealand police officers to, they promised them a $20,000, that's Australian dollars too, not Pacific pesos, to a relocation bonus. But the coalition government faces the challenge of fulfilling their promise to hire an extra 500 frontline officers over the next 2 years, as information released to Checkpoint, rnz.co.nz, suggests that it will struggle to meet the target given resignations and retirement, overall training capacity, shrinking and below-capacity recruitment intakes. Despite that, Police Minister Mark Mitchell told Checkpoint the coalition government remained committed to the promise. Yeah, empty words. He said, I've always said, at the incoming, as the incoming minister, it was clear to me in my briefing to myself, he briefed himself, from the police, that we've got some big challenges without a doubt. But we're up for the challenge. We're going to get rid of all those gang patches. That will stop crime.
Like heck it will.
I know. Australian police figures from late last year showed 77 officers were leaving to work in Queensland and close to 20 were heading to the Northern Territory. They've got problems up there. But the New Zealand police say they did not record the reasons officers left. We know why. Last month, the New Zealand Herald reported 50 there. That's the Herald. That was the one that was at the beginning that they wouldn't actually say who it was, wouldn't give them a plug. They said that New Zealand Herald reported 50 police officers who had quit. They were already working as officers across the Tasman, and it was understood another 70 were waiting to leave New Zealand. Mitchell told Checkpoint he estimated about 50 to 100 New Zealand police officers were hired by that recruitment drive. He said, look.
He said, looky. He said, we don't want to lose our police officers.
The Australians have been coming here for decades now, recruiting our police officers because they are so good. Oh, rubbish. It's just that they pay them more. It's all about the money, Mark, you know that. And it's probably highlights the fact that we've got our own issues over, or they've got their own issues over there in terms of recruiting and retention. That's right, police all over the place. You know, after the pandemic, you know, with the things they were forced to do. A lot of police officers choose not to go to Australia because they love their country. No, because they've got family, they've got split marriages, and they've got kids living in one part of the country or, you know, one part of the town. They can't go to Australia because they've got fat kids here. That's why they're not going. They'd all be going. They'd all be leaving New Zealand for greener pastures if we paid them properly. And also, if we didn't get them to do stupid things like go and knock on John Ansell's door,
yes,
and say that, you know, why are you posting naughty things on Facebook, which turned out not to be naughty at all. Those are the sorts of things that policemen, they didn't sign up for that rubbish. Anyway, he admitted that New Zealand's financial package was no match for Australia's offer. We cannot compete with that, he said. Australia have got a much bigger and healthier, stronger, high-wage economy than we have. And that's one of the big jobs that we've got the incoming government, is to strengthen our economy and start to head towards blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the cops are all leaving, going to Australia. Yeah, can't compete. Colds and flu medicines with pseudoephedrine go back on the shelves in pharmacies. I think colds and flu medicines containing pseudoephedrine can once again be sold at pharmacy shelves, on the shelves, sold at pharmacies without a prescription. The legislation which will allow medicines containing pseudoephedrine will be available over the counter, as it's just passed its third reading in Parliament. The misuse of drugs, the pseudoephedrine amendment bill, will reclassify it as pseudoephedrine.
You're struggling.
I am. Never mind. They're going to, it was a restricted medicine, and now it's going to be allowed for the public to purchase it at a pharmacy without a prescription. There we are. Pseudoephedrine is an ingredient which is used to make the methamphetamine.
That's a P.
Yeah. And the Prime Minister, John Key, he announced plans to ban over-the-counter sales of the drug containing pseudoephedrine in 2009. The ban came into force 2 years later with the reclassification of pseudoephedrine as a Class B2 prescription-only drug. Health Minister and ACT leader David Seymour has been championing the party's policy to return the drugs to pharmacies. Seymour told Parliament banning pseudoephedrine cough and cold medicines did not end the P epidemic. He said what actually happened is that those people in the business of selling it started to connect with criminals and offshore and create more sophisticated ways of sourcing pee from bigger, badder criminals and manage to bring it in at a lower price and make it more available to pee addicts than ever before. Seymour said it was incredibly unlikely that people were going to return to a less efficient, more expensive way of manufacturing pee that involved going around pharmacies and buying up as many tablets as you can. Due to the state of the health system, it was difficult for New Zealanders to get a prescription to obtain these types of medicines, which are bad for you anyway, which had left New Zealand significantly worse off, he said. Labour, that's the Labour Party's Ayesha Verrill, she said that the party had supported the bill, but had some concerns that she did not feel had been adequately dealt with. Or she felt they hadn't been adequately dealt with. While those seeking meth could seek it more cheaply from overseas suppliers, there will be desperate people who will not have the opportunity to make meth via cooking it from pee. She said there'll always be ways to mitigate that. She said, I'm particularly disappointed that the proposal that pseudoephedrine be treated like a codeine and is required to be kept. She wants it kept in a lock safe in the pharmacies. Oh, for goodness sake, just lock the doors, you'd be right. Verrill said the shortened select committee process meant that some of the potential risks had not been addressed. She just wanted to waste more time. A Green Party co-leader, Chloe Schwarbrick, she said her party agreed with the change, describing it as moving in the direction of evidence-based drug law. That's Chloe. All right, other news. IRD are targeting 40,000 businesses over tax arrears. The IRD is giving those in the construction industry a last chance and warning them to pay taxes or will definitely take some action. IRD says it's owed about $900 million of Pacific pesos, but those in the construction centre mainly, which represents about one-sixth of the total outstanding debt. IRD spokesperson Richard Philp, he said that they were planning to target about 40,000 individual businesses with a campaign. He said that's not the entire population, but a reasonable level of the total outstanding companies and individuals that are associated with the construction industry. The 40,000 being targeted will represent businesses with a number of unfiled returns, as well as some who have past tax debt they need to address. He said it was an issue of fairness. When businesses operate in an insolvent manner, it's not fair on those that actually do comply. So we try to level the playing field where that makes sense. At this point, where businesses have ignored all IRD contacts, including reminders, monthly statements, and the IRD, they must, he says, they must, you know, they've been trying to contact them directly, and they've got to try and get an understanding of their circumstances. He said that we did a lot of work supporting those businesses through the COVID pandemic. Of course, he didn't say pandemic, did he? No. But never mind, I did. Penalty rates of unpaid taxes may be progressive. He said basically a 1% entry point and then 4% over that time period so that the penalties quickly rack up. So you need to get on, it gets a bit expensive, doesn't it, paying your IRD? Inland Revenue Department. A recent IRD survey has indicated there's more acceptance around the cash jobs.
A cashy, Mr. Ash.
And IRD can use other parties such as bank accounts and electronic payments service providers to identify that work that's been done and payments have been made. So that can tell us a little more about the truth of someone's position. In some cases, people just fail to file a tax return. The IRD receives about 7,000 tips a year.
Snitches.
Yep, 7,000 snitches a year of people. A good percentage of the anonymous tips the IRD receives were linked to the construction industry. He said, there we are. Now, other news. Have we got any other news? Oh, there was a souped-up e-scooter racing down the northwest motorway past a Tesla. Guy took a photograph. It looks pretty great, actually. Driver shocked as an e-scooter rider overtakes the Tesla on the Auckland motorway. Motorists on the Auckland Northwestern motorway have been surprised to see an electric scooter weaving through traffic, but the jury's still out on whether it's illegal. Last week, Peter Idoni, I think that's how you say it,